All right. Well, let me jump into the Right Side Way monologue for the day. And I will tell you, I was reminded of a verse recently, a Bible verse that tells me that while heaven may be the ultimate destination, I'm planning on getting there, that there is still an absolutely undeniable ability to also see amazing things happen even right here on earth. Psalm 27:13, it says, "I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You hear that? I will, it's an imperative, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So basically, what happens here and now matters. We may be sort of living in a foreign land, in a sense, waiting for our chance to go home, but the reality is what happens right here and now still matters. That particular verse comes toward the end of a passage that was filled with trouble and difficulty, even persecution, but even still, confident. Confident that the goodness of the Lord will be seen right here in the present land of the living. All right, so this morning I watched a video by a guy named Sean Fucht. Some of y'all may have heard of him. Sean Fucht, he's doing amazing things. He has an amazing mission right now to conduct a praise and worship service on the steps of every state capital in the nation. And he's well on his way, having already held major concerts and events in 42 states, and he's working his way to the finale on the Mall in D.C. Anyway, he was talking about what we're seeing at the DNC right now. Because yes, in Chicago, there's leftist talking points and Democrat politics and all the things you expect to see on the surface of a major political event. But there's also some just absolute debauchery going on as well. And I don't mean like secretly, not behind closed doors, not whispered about in smoky back rooms. No, it's out in the open. Like the whole thing about Planned Parenthood in a mobile van providing abortions and sterilizing men. I mean, come on. At an event? Transgender delegates are being celebrated and given accolades for their very presence. Promises are made to push for enforcements of the Biden-Harris Title IX rewrite that lets men compete in women's sports. The actual DNC platform begins by apologizing for America by saying that we live on stolen land. Look, nothing is good. Normal is out. Hedonism is the order of the day. And it's all out in the open. And let me ask you this question. Where are the Christians? Where's the moral outrage? Where's the church? Because there are times when silence speaks volumes. And right now, we need some folks to speak up. Sean Fucht was pointing out that where we are now is no different than watching a feckless King Ahab and a paganistic witch named Jezebel literally destroy Israel's culture. But then, in that same passage of Scripture, God raised up some people who chose to speak and to act and to take back their nation. And don't think for a second that Jezebel went quietly. I mean, there were death threats, there were confrontations, but it only happened, though, when people were willing to call it for what it was. It was debauchery on parade. But if you think for a second that I'm talking about just, you know, church leaders saying something, or just the political leaders saying something, or just the folks who have a microphone or a million followers on Instagram, well, think again. I'm talking about the everyday Joe and Jane, the man on the street, the salt of the earth, the heartbeat of America folks. Folks who are willing to get a bit uppity and call things out like they are. It doesn't mean you have to be offensive, but you do have to be firm. Because what happens here and now on our watch actually matters. And you can be from among the smallest of the small groups and still get something big done. One of my favorite characters from the Bible is Gideon. I once actually wrote a paper for a military course on his battle with the Midianites. Now, in the book of Numbers, there was a census that was taken, and the tribe of Manasseh, which is where Gideon was from, the tribe of Manasseh was found to have the fewest numbers of fighting men. You guessed it, Gideon being from the tribe of Manasseh, he's from the tribe that has the fewest to contribute. Well, at the time of Gideon, Israel was in a complete mess. Pagan idols set up everywhere in the town square, beaten down by their enemies. Their rulers were a bunch of do-nothings. There was no king to govern the country. It was the time of judges, they called it. We're told that Gideon was no better than anybody else. In fact, he was a bit of a shirker, maybe even a coward. When we first meet him in Scripture, he's actually hiding in a wine press, trying to thresh out some grain to make bread. So he's not making wine, he's hiding in the wine press, roughing up the grain, trying to get to the grain seed. Literally hiding while trying to feed himself because he was scared of being caught by the Midianites. And an angel appeared and greeted him, saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Well, that didn't fit at all. that was not even close to what he looked like. But he was called to lead the people against Israel's enemies. Well, let's just say that Gideon was not overly enthused. He doubted. He tried to test God. He tried to get out of it. But he just couldn't. So he got busy. He tore down the pagan idols. He gathered up an army. But God told him that his army of 32,000 was just too big. Look, the Midianites were camped nearby. Their army covered an entire valley. So Gideon did what he was told, and he announced to them that any man who was scared could go home. Any man scared, you go ahead and go home. 22,000 men packed up and left. Then he was told to let his remaining 10,000 drink some water from the river. Anyone who stuck their face down in the water and lapped it like a dog was supposed to be sent home. Oh, boy. Well, when they were done, only those who knelt down and cupped water in their hands were allowed to stay, and that was only 300 men. Only 300 against an army of tens of thousands. But Gideon did a leader's recon of his objective, and he overheard Midianite soldiers talking about their fears that Gideon was going to defeat them, and he knew it. He had good intelligence at that point. They were scared. And then the story gets even wilder. You see, nobody in those times fought at night. When they did have to go out at night, they had designated torchbearers. And the army would have designated buglers or hornblowers, like certain people, certain jobs. But Gideon, that night he had every one of his 300-man army put a torch inside of a clay pot so it couldn't be seen from a distance, and they carried a shofar horn, and they spread out across the hillside surrounding the Midianite army, and on his signal, all 300 of them shattered their clay pots, and it sounded like massive amounts of rattling of swords on shields. They raised up their torches in the air, which made them look like a huge army 10 times bigger than they were, and they shouted and blew their horns, and the enemy thought they were being attacked by a numerically superior force. It was epic. Of the principles of war that we still study in military science, Gideon's little band of warriors from the smallest of the tribes, led by the guy who had been recently hiding in a wine press trying to get a little grain to make a paltry loaf of bread, well, they entered the fray using the elements of things like battlefield intelligence, speed, surprise. You can actually analyze the battle using the principles of warfare. And the enemy became so confused and terrified that the Midianites began fighting among themselves in the dark because they couldn't tell what was going on. The people of the nation were rallied up. They were inspired. They got busy. They pursued the remaining Midianites, and they wiped them out. So why am I telling you that story? I mean, I opened with the thing about Sean Fuchs, and now I'm talking about Gideon. What's the deal? Well, because it occurs to me that some of you out there are modern-day Gideons. You don't think your opinion matters. You don't think there's any way you can make a difference. You're too busy just trying to get by. You're doing all you can to keep what you've got from being taken. You're living small. And when in reality, there might be something for you to do. You see, our society these days is no different than what we saw in the time of Jezebel or the time of Gideon. The social upheaval and the cultural rot, they are exactly the same. And it's not going to be elected leaders in faraway capitals who do the work to restore the nation. It's going to be modern-day Gideons who stand up right there in their own communities. People who are willing to speak, to act, to care, to call wrong wrong and right right. Change never occurs when people are silent. Change only occurs when people rally up and call for it. What we do right now, it matters. What we do in the here and now, it matters. We can hide in a wine press and hope it all goes away, or we can climb out of that hiding place we've been cowering in and get busy. I remain confident, my friends, that we may still be able to see the goodness of the Lord while we are here in the land of the living. But I'd say it's time to get busy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. Look, what an amazing story. But what I love is the fact that that story is so identifiable. Because I'm telling you right now, there's a whole bunch of you listening right now that you're basically hiding in a wine press waiting for someone else to do something, never knowing for a fact that the hero is you, and you just need to stand up and start getting busy. And it might mean you do something with 10 of your friends, or it might mean you start a movement. Who knows? But it doesn't happen in the wine press. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.